The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
Hello and welcome to number 11 in our series of 12 podcasts with me, Ricky Gervais. Hello, Stephen Merchant.
Hello.
And Carl Pilkington.
Right.
Now, Carl, you have become a phenomenon. Okay? Right. This is a new story that's gone everywhere. It started, I think, in New York, Reuters, and then that's been taken up by every Reuters network everywhere, India, all over Australia, England. Okay, here it is. The headline is, Podcast makes Britain an unlikely internet icon. Britain there, B-R-I-T-O-N. Okay? Now, this is the story by Mark Egan. And it came out of New York originally. Unemployed British radio producer Carl Pilkington has become an unlikely superstar by using the medium of podcasting for his bizarre statement about eating an animal's private parts. Remember that?
Yeah, it was more about, like, that reality show.
That right. Well, it says that here. It was during a discussion on the Gervais Show about a reality TV show where contestants were asked to eat an animal's penis. Pilkington made internet history while talking about this, it says, right? First, he said he could not eat an animal's penis in the morning because he had a delicate stomach. He then proclaimed, using the British slang for penis, I could eat a knob at night, okay? His knob soundbite has become so popular that a Google search for I could eat a knob at night yields more than 500,000 listings, okay? Among them are T-shirts featuring the slogan, okay, and Pilkington's bald head, selling for $17.
Why did I have to make a point about your bald head?
I don't know. Why is that getting a little mention?
Wow!
It doesn't matter. See the T-shirt. Have a look at it. No, I mean, what is bald? I'm not buying one then. It's not going to make any difference. Either you want a T-shirt with me head on or you don't. It's not an issue.
All it says is, but among also, them are T-shirts featuring the slogan and Pilkington's bald head. I also liked it when it said, Pilkington plays the village idiot on the Ricky Gervais Show. Okay? Now, plays the village idiot suggests that he thinks you're a character, that character being a village idiot. The problem is, the fact that you're not a character, to me, suggests that you are just a village idiot.
A global village idiot.
Yeah. Mm. Now,
just on the websites, though, when it said there's loads of websites about eating a knob at night.
Yeah.
Have they looked at each website and gone, yeah, that's to do with the podcast?
Yeah.
Or is it just like gays and that, saying, oh, I love a bit of knob at night?
It's a valid question.
It's a valid question. That's why you're an internet icon, Carl, because you say things like that. After Gervais mused on the show that the soundbite could be used in a dance remix, it took just a few days for the internet to be awash with songs using the soundbite as a hook. So what do you think of that, Carl?
Oh, is it big in India?
Well, I don't know. It goes around the world. This is a story.
I know, but I just can't believe the problems that, if I was in India, I wouldn't be getting upset about someone in London talking about a knob at night with the problems they've got.
Well, I don't think anyone's getting upset in India. No, just saying that the information.
I can't imagine people walking around India. You know, have you heard that song, Knob at Night? I can't imagine that happening with the, you know, they're hungry in that and it's dusty and everything.
That's your image of India, is it? They're hungry and it's dusty.
I assume it's, you know, the parts of India that aren't dusty and in poverty. There is a lot of poverty in India, but there was also, you know,
yeah, but these parts
it's still a major civilization, and the people that live in apartments with computers, they probably might tune in.
But I don't think it's an issue all over the world, is it? Because there's some places where they eat dogs. They'd go, no, but night, not a problem. Might not be a bad thing. You know, why is that out on a T-shirt? I had one last Wednesday. Not an issue. What do you mean? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, again, if there are cannibals listening, if it's, you know, in places that you wouldn't travel to, and they get hold of a little laptop and an iPod, and they listen to that, I can eat a knob at night, then they're going, what's the problem? What's the big deal? We love a knob at night.
Yeah.
We love a little knob at night, yeah. Bollocks in the morning, knob at night. That's the rule.
But what about the fact that they're saying you're a phenomenon, a global phenomenon? Because when you were, you know, a tiny little round-headed mank growing up in Manchester, you could not surely have ever anticipated that you would one day be described as a phenomenon, an international phenomenon.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I went to that school, you know, with a kid with a big head and webbed hands. Now he should be being talked about.
Maybe he doesn't want to be talked about. If you've grown up with a big head and webbed hands, the last thing you want to be is talked about. He wants to put on
a pair of... He wants to blend into society.
He wants to put on a bit of a pair of mittens and paint his head like a crash helmet, so people think, oh, it looks like a big head, but it's probably just a crash helmet.
Yeah, just go about his business.
Yeah.
Unnoticed.
Won't get stopped on a bike or anything.
Yeah, but I say if you've got something that's a bit weird, use it.
That's what we're doing.
That's exactly what me and Steve are doing. We have got something that's a bit weird, and we're using it. And I want to speak to the people all around the world. Thanks for listening. But how famous can you make Carl Pilkington? Are you a journalist? Please write about this for people who probably haven't listened to Carl. Talk about Carl Pilkington. Put a little poster up in your window. I love Carl Pilkington. Print a badge. Give it away. Email your friends. Tell one person about this podcast and let them discover the amazing beauty that is Carl Pilkington's mind.
All right.
Hasta la vista, baby. I'll be back. I'm here to tell you about Friday Night Comedies on Channel 4. There's three great comedies. New Green Wing, It's Nearly Ready. My Name is Earl and The It Crowd. The great new comedy from creator of Father Ted. Get your ass to Mars. Friday Night Comedy, this Friday on Channel 4. Switch it on. I'll be back. Uzi 9mm. Cause I did it a voice.
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
As ever, Rick, there are hundreds and thousands of emails coming in. People contributing all kinds of stuff, pictures as always, and little video clips that I think might be of interest. And of course, as ever, lots of questions for Carl as well, just to sort of try and tap into his brain, see what's going on there. Question from Jade Ramira. Carl, what would you change if you were in charge of what kids are taught in school? Right, you know, because, I mean, your school experience was a bit iffy. You got very bored, didn't you? You got very disillusioned by school.
Yeah. What I'd do, right, is, instead of keep sort of teaching kids about two and two and that, which is four, right?
Well done.
Show off.
I think should be asked more questions that make them think rather than something that has just got an answer.
I totally agree.
Right? So,
yeah,
like,
yeah. So teaching them the quest for knowledge, inflaming their imagination.
But just freaking them out a bit as well. Just going, like.
See, I knew that's where it was going. Because as soon as you started talking, Rick, I was thinking you're thinking some of the big existential or philosophical questions. You
yeah.
know, does it mean to be human? What does it mean to interact with other
exactly.
humans? To be a human.
Or teaching them sort of like philosophy on a basic level, that, you know, teaching them the love for learning. So, yeah. you know, get them back to a roots level so they want to learn and then they will learn, as opposed to just teaching them facts.
Whereas
he was thinking, freak them out a bit.
Yeah.
No, just like, you know, like I read the other day, and someone sent it in on email, like, how there's a dishwasher that's been found on Mars.
Rubbish.
Whoa, what?
Right? But it's not true.
So tell them that.
But it's not true.
Go home and write about it. How did that happen?
But it didn't happen.
Well, it did happen. It was in a science magazine.
No, it didn't happen. There's not a dishwasher on Mars.
Why not?
Because
why not?
Why did it? How did it get there?
But we're always sending like rubbish out there and that. It's like
not dishwashers. What you think the council take it away and they go, where can we put it? Well, the tip's full. Well, where's the nearest thing we can dump this? Mars, I imagine.
No, but the same way that fella who I don't know was it two Christmases ago when he was messing about saying I can get stuff to Mars and all that. He did it wrong because he did it on like Boxing Day, and I just think nobody's concentrating. No one wants to work on that day. It's kind of like, do you know what I mean? They're going to do stuff sort of half-assed, aren't
sure.
they, on Boxing yeah. Day. So it didn't really get there, I don't think, but it crash-landed.
What right? are you talking about? What was he trying to do?
He was sending something up to Mars.
Yeah, that little fella that wanted to get something on Mars, and it got...
probe, you mean?
And it didn't open properly.
Yeah.
It got there, didn't open.
But the thing is, it got there, it didn't open properly. No one's been back to pick it up. And what I'm saying is, we're saying about going to Mars as our next planet. It's a tip. There's loads of stuff that's been flirted up there.
No, it's not.
What are you talking about? It's just all, like, that probe thing is still there. Rotting away.
Yeah. So, ipso facto, there is a dishwasher on Mars. We've settled that. Why would they have a dishwasher on Mars? Would they take the dishwasher up in the space shuttle in case they had dinner parties? What are you talking about?
I just think they would have a little dishwasher in there. There's a lot of them. Tight space. You don't want to... But who's going to do that? You know, that means...
Do you know how much fuel it takes to move a kilogram...
Yeah.
Out of the Earth's atmosphere. So they're going to take up a dishwasher, are they?
Sorry, but what are they cooking up there, Carl?
How many people does it take to fly a rocket?
How
many people? Tell me how many people.
Well, it's either one monkey with a banana shoe that feeds it, or probably two or three humans.
Right, say it's three humans.
Yeah.
Now, there's three humans, because they need one to steer it, one to, like, be going, yeah, we're all right.
Yeah,
one to make some hors d'oeuvres.
One to stop at the petrol station
to get
more.
What I'm saying is, if you're going to start having a sink, then whoever's
watching us... They haven't got a sink.
I know, because they've got a dishwasher.
He's got you there.
But anyway, I'm not going to go into that. But all I'm saying is teach kids things about... Say to them, right, when you go home tonight, it was dinosaurs knocking about ages ago. How would you have lived with them? Get on with it. See you later.
Well, they didn't. I've told you this before. You got a lot of your information from the Flintstones and 1 million years BC with Raquel Welsh. There weren't dinosaurs knocking around where there were little fellas knocking around in furry pants.
No, no, but just sort of saying to them, all right, then, here's a different question.
Go on, then.
Would it be better to have dinosaurs knocking about now whilst we're here? Because I put that in my diary the other day, that when you think about it, there's a population problem.
Yeah.
There's too many of us.
Yeah.
We're saving people all the time. No one's allowed to get injured anymore. You've got to, you know, wear a helmet when you're on a bike. Yeah. There's speed bumps to slow people down. Zebra crossing. Cures for illnesses. No one's dying anymore, right?
Well, I think they are.
Not as many as they should be, because the world's crowded. All I'm saying is...
I think there's still people dying. I think there's still people dying.
Not that many, though.
Yeah, I think there's still millions of people dying.
Apparently, a handful.
Loads of people are living longer, and that's a problem. So
you feel that you should introduce Tyrannosaurus Rex into, say, London... Just open wandering around, just picking people off.
That's what... Just sort of random and that. Because I don't know... I mean, I'm not wishing that anyone I know dies and that, but all I'm saying is, I don't know anyone who's died for ages.
Right.
Whereas if a dinosaur was knocking about, you'd go, Neil's gone missing.
Yeah. And Nora's had her head bitten off by a...
Whatever. I just think then it is survival of the fittest, which is, we've lost all that now. You don't even have to be fit to survive. They just keep sticking a new lung on you. Or... Do you know what I mean? They can do too much now to keep people going.
They just keep sticking a new lung on you.
Question from Kevin. He says, Carl, other than the famous boxing match that you've often talked about, I know that took up about 20 minutes of your time, have you ever been in any other kind of fight? I don't suppose a slanging match. I think they're talking, have you ever been in a physical fight?
Once that I can remember. It was over a woman. Well, a girl. I was at school.
Yeah.
And it was because, like, it's hassle, innit, right, relationships when you're younger.
How old were you?
About 7.
It was over a woman.
Go on, then. Yeah, go on.
And there was this girl knocking about who, you know, she was quite good looking, everybody liked. And, my mate, he really liked her. And, I didn't sort of ask her out on that, but she just sort of took a shine to me and stuff, right? And didn't really go out with her properly. It's at that age where going out with someone is just like sort of going, all right, in the morning. Do you know what I mean? You just sort of nod your head.
Yeah.
And that. Anyway, there was some sort of school disco. And they were playing Spin the Bottle or something, right? And I sort of wandered over to see what was going on. And I stood on this girl's dress and put a hole in it. And she started crying. I was like, oh, I can't be dealing with this. Right? What's up with you? It's old, what's up with you? And everyone's going, Carl, what are you doing? That's meant to be your girlfriend and that. You should be sort of saying, oh, I'm sorry, and giving her a hug and all that, and saying, it'll be all right, we'll sort the dress out. I said, oh, I can't be dealing with this. No. Right? So she's crying her eyes out. I said, it's over, right?
Oh, it's over, you saying? Right. In the morning. Yeah.
No more of that.
Yeah, there's no more. Right. In the morning.
So I go to the toilet, right, and this lad who fancies her comes in and goes, you're out of order, you know. And I'm saying, what are you on about?
So there's 2 7-year-olds. You're out of order. Keep out. Cut it out. Show her a bit of bloody respect. Sorry, were you wearing trilbies?
Yeah. He put his cigarette out in the sink, and he just said, leave it.
Get out of my face.
So I just thought, I said, look, why are you getting involved? And all that.
Why are you getting involved?
And it was obviously, like, because, you know, he fancied her and that. We had a bit of a fight in there.
Yeah.
I accidentally, you know, sort of chipped his tooth on a sink. Right?
Wow, is it like a proper...
Sorry, this is like someone from Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. Yeah. What are you talking about? 2 7-year-olds in a toilet.
So you put a hole in her dress. I don't know how that... What were you wearing? Football boots? How did you make a hole in her dress?
I don't know. It was like that sort of material.
You were
like,
wearing winkle pickers.
Like crepe. You know what I mean? It was like a crepe dress or something.
Yeah.
Right.
And that got a hole in it. So
you're having a... And when you say you're having a fight, I mean, are you wrestling with it? You've got arm locks and head
locks? A little bit of wrestling and shoving about and that. And it was an accident. I didn't sort of go, right, I'm going to break your teeth or anything. It's just that I happened to push his head down, and his tooth hit the sink.
Yeah.
Right.
And it chipped, and what have you. After that, like, I sort of left there and stuff, and we had to go into assembly. And there was a copper in there doing some presentation saying, listen, kids, you know, don't get into trouble, because we're out there and we'll get you. Right? So sort of trying to teach the kids young not to get into any trouble and stuff. So I'm sat in the assembly room thinking, oh, God, there's a copper here talking, and it, like, my mate's going to come in a minute, like, with a chipped tooth and everything. And
questions are going to get asked.
That's what kind of happened. I mean, the coppers didn't get involved.
Yeah.
But did you turn your back on violence after that, then?
Yeah. Well, he said, you'll never take me alive, copper.
So, yeah, that was the sort of last fight.
Brilliant.
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
Some of the questions coming in now, Rick, are just, I don't know what they're intending, what response they're hoping for, really. This is one from Rob. He just says, I was just wondering, what are Carl's views on the human appendix?
What do you think, Carl? What do you think of the human appendix?
Never worried about it.
Well, no, I think Rob's point is that it's sort of pretty redundant now. Yeah. The appendix used to be an organ that was packed with these enzymes that help break down things like cellulose. But because of our diet now, and because the cooking and other things, we don't need to eat a lot of cellulose. We don't eat very, very low grade things like rabbits, for example, huge appendix and cecum, and they use it to break down cellulose. They actually eat their own feces to get it through again. But we get a lot of nutrients out of food now. We eat very rich food, so we sort of don't need the appendix. And also, when something goes wrong with the appendix, if it bursts, it can infect you and you can die from it. So sort of, what's the point in having it? We don't need it, and it can only cause us harm. That was the question, I think, that Rob was putting to you. So now, what are your thoughts on the human appendix?
So this is kind of what we've talked about before, where...
He always says that. He always says something like, oh, we've talked about this before. And the thing that he's talked about is nothing like it.
Yeah.
There's never... Go on.
No, but just like in the way that we've messed with our body and we've messed with the world too much.
Yeah.
If we've got an appendix, we must need it. If it's dangling about, right?
Well, no, because such is the human evolution is that... As you said before, you know, it's no longer based on survival of the fittest, because we can fight nature and combat it. So our evolution, if you like, socially and everything else, it has been much faster than our biological evolution.
Yeah, but what I mean is, we've obviously interfered somewhere along the way. And
we have interfered, yeah.
Yeah, we shouldn't have done, because it's the same way, like, if we didn't have planes and that, would we have wings now? If we'd have needed to get about, would we have had wings?
No, the answer is no. Next.
No, but you say that, but look at the way...
Because he's right, is it? Because he's right.
No, but all I'm saying is, you see that little picture of like an ape to man?
Yeah.
At first, they're crawling about on all fours, because probably you're looking for food, so you want to be down there. So
right.
If you're on both legs, you're missing stuff that's on the floor.
What sort of time period do you think this... Because, I mean, we started, dabbling with a plane maybe 100 years ago. So what sort of time period do you think this little thing who's scrabbling around looking for food stood up and walked?
I don't know. I sort of don't worry about time.
Right.
Sort of
well, I'll tell you now, we wouldn't have wings now. If the Wright brothers had said, oh, forget it, we wouldn't have wings now.
What would happen? Right, here's another question. This is one that I'd chuck out to kids as well. We were talking about education, teaching kids stuff.
Sure.
What would happen, right? We ruin this world, right? Goes wrong and that, right? They shut it down. They go, we're moving. We go to another planet.
It's as simple as that in his world. It's as simple as that.
We can't go to Mars because it's full of stuff that used to be in Dixon's.
It's like a tip.
Yeah. It's a nightmare. So we can't go to there. We go somewhere else.
So you find another planet, wherever it is, right?
Yeah. Wherever it is. Yeah. Easy.
Something that I've always wondered about, if we do that, do we start New Year's, or do we carry on? What, do you know what I mean? Do we say, oh, it's still 2006? Or do we go, it's world new, or whatever?
Yeah.
New world.
That is definitely the first priority.
It's year one. Right, we've sorted that out. Right, now...
Well, it depends, doesn't it?
Because
a year might not be the same on this planet.
We'd sort that out. Right, we'd sort out what year it is and that.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, we'd have to start again anyway, because the planet might not take 1 year as we know it to go around the sun. It might not take a day to turn. A day is a day, because that's how long it takes.
Yeah, but
it.
We'd have to carry on as we know, because we don't want to start doing longer days and that, otherwise it'll just kick off and say, this is rubbish, this new world, what are you doing?
No!
I'm doing a 28-hour day!
We wouldn't have a choice! A day is how long it takes the planet to turn. And a year is how long it takes that planet to go around the sun.
But a day is man-made, really. There's places in the world where they're working in the dark, isn't there, in Iceland and that. But they don't go, well, it's dark all the time, so I'll stay in bed.
Well, no, but there's still a day. It's still 24 hours in a day in Iceland.
Yeah, but we only work by that clock because that's what people use at the moment when they go, what time is it? You go, it's 20 past
9. No. We use that because that's how long it takes the planet we're on to turn.
Never worried about it like that. I've just always...
Well, no, I'm telling you...
Well, that's because you weren't asked to get involved when they came up with the idea.
I'm telling you, that's what a day is. It's how long it takes your planet to... Yeah. What do you mean?
No, I'm just saying that's fine and everything. But if when I was born people said, there's 26 hours in a day, I'd go, fair enough. I'm not going to argue.
We could have made that by long an hour. We could make hours shorter and get 26.
Well, they're saying they're going to do that.
They're not.
No, they are, because there's so many people in the world.
Yeah.
This is what I was talking about before. They've got to create more jobs. The only way to have more jobs, keep shops open, take on more people. Everyone's happy.
That makes no sense at all.
Right. Say if there's 28 hours in a day.
Yeah, it'd still be 24 hours long as we used to know it.
No, you'd have like, oh, what time is it? Oh, it's like 20 past... 25 or whatever.
Well, you're not making any sense at all.
No, I'm just saying...
The Earth would still take 24 hours as we know it now.
Forget it.
Hang on a minute. I want... there's more interesting territory here. Let's say we've got to our new planet, wherever that is. It takes 14 hours, okay, to do its turn. So we call that a day. All right, so we've now agreed that 14 hours is a day.
But nothing, it's going to take ages to get the town centre built and that. If people are... If you've only got...
I'm going with you! I'm defending you here!
All right.
So we've got that. We've established what the day is. We've established what a year is, right? It's year one. It's Carl year one. What next? All right, we've got all the people. We've moved to another planet. You said you had a bunch of other questions.
Don't forget, our sleep patterns have evolved on a day. The reason we sort of like go to sleep at night and have about 8-10 hours sleep is because that's our evolution.
No, but that's just because that's what we've got used to, isn't it?
Yeah.
You look at a sloth, that's asleep all the time. Yeah, that's got the same watch as us.
It's doing what it wants. But it evolved differently, didn't it?
But it's living now in 2006, so wake it up. Right, you can't get away. You're not getting away with this anymore. If you want to live now, join in with us.
Well, it's that time again. It's the feature that the world is saying could rival Monkey News one day. Ready?
Oh, what's he written today?
Well, Carl's diary. You didn't explain what it was, Carl's diary. Actually, as one person said, if we are going to get it published, we could maybe publish it as The Diary of an Idiot.
Very good.
So, a little riff there on one of the most famous diaries. Sunday. Got up. Sunny day. So I went for a walk in the park. There was a bloke walking down the street who was whistling. Some kind of annoying tune. He seemed quite happy with himself. Do people only whistle when they're happy? I don't whistle very much.
It's a good point. Whistling is so inane to me. But yeah, it's sort of like going, I'm content, it really is that thing that if they go, Mr. Mellors, I'm afraid, I've got some bad news. Not only has your wife died, but you've lost the house. Thanks, Doctor.
Wouldn't happen.
No, you don't whistle when you're sad. The other place you hear it, of course, is changing rooms. And that's men going, I'm whistling so I'm not looking at your cock. How could I be? I'm concentrating on whistling.
The lake was frozen over where I was walking. The ducks looked worried. They were sat on the edge of the lake waiting for it to melt. Where are they, Carl?
Yeah, we're just sat there looking, sort of going, oh, what's going on? I don't know. How long is a duck's memory? Because I wondered whether they're going, this doesn't seem right, but I don't know why.
I asked Suzanne, why ducks don't use their wings much? They seem to walk and swim more and don't bother using their wings. Suzanne said she had to call her mum and dad, so I never got an answer.
The old excuse! Suzanne, oh, I can't talk now, Carl.
Gonna phone my mum. There was a marathon-type run going on in the park. It reminded me of the time when we were moving flat. It was the day of the London Marathon. Me and Suzanne were walking down the middle of the road, taking some stuff to our new flat. I was carrying a lamp and a kitchen bin. People were clapping me, thinking I was doing some kind of fun run.
Why were you walking on the same route.
Because it was when we lived on the Docklands.
Oh, brilliant.
There was no other route. The flat was just about 100 yards down the road.
They're going, look at the bloke with the bald wig. He's carrying a lamp and a bin.
Took a bag of old clothes to Oxfam. It was just old T-shirts and a couple of jumpers with holes in it. I don't think anyone will buy them. But the Oxfam is closer to the flat than the wheelie bin is. On the tube on the way back home, saw an advert for a book about a woman who works in a funeral home. She went into work one day, she goes to work on a body, she takes the sheet off of one of the bodies, and it looks exactly like her. This is called a doppelganger.
What's a doppelganger to you?
It's the thing I read about ages ago where someone was walking down the street.
Yeah, and he sees someone who looked a bit like him.
And no, this was weirder than that.
Go on.
He remembers, like, going down that street as a kid on his bike, whistling.
Yeah.
And then he sort of is walking down the street, going to get some milk or whatever from the shop. Little bike comes whizzing past. He hears the whistling. He goes, that's weird. Looks at it. It was him when he was a kid. So it's like a time.
Shit. What do you mean, it was him as a kid?
This is like a different form of doppelganger. It's just,
well, it's impossible, it's rubbish.
Some sort of time thing, isn't it?
No, it's not even that's impossible, so don't worry about
it. It's just some kind of time thing, Rick. No.
Yeah, it's
just something
you read thing. Again on the internet, or it was a short story, or something someone told you.
On my walk back from the tube, I saw a jogger who was pushing a pram at the same time. The kid looked terrified. Got my science book out. It said that the static you get on the telly when a channel isn't tuned in properly is radiation that is still knocking about from when the Big Bang happened. I thought about the Big Bang and wondered if it was really a Big Bang, or did it just sound louder as there was no other noise to drown it out.
Good point, though, isn't it?
Carl's diary, Rick, never ceases to amaze. More from that next week.
Hey, fool! Don't give me no back chat, sucker. I ain't here to mess with you. I ain't getting in no plane. I'm here to tell you all about Friday Night Comedy on Channel 4. There's three great new comedies. New Green Wing. Yeah, fool. That's nearly ready. My Name Is Earl. And The It Crowd. That great new comedy from the creator Father Ted. Sucker. Friday Night Comedy. This Friday on Channel 4, fool. Switch it on or I'll be around your house. You stay up all night shivering because you'll be so mad scared. Fool.
Oh, well, it's that time now. Yeah? It's the big one.
Oh, chimpanzee, that monkey news!
Right, it was this,
monkey?
This fella, right, who, he had a problem with his eyes. Right?
Yeah.
So, he goes to the doctors, and he goes, oh, I've got a problem with my eyes. And he goes, yeah, they're bad then, right? He goes, it was in America, you know, like how you have to pay for medical stuff and all that.
Mm.
And the doctor said, oh, if I fix them, it's going to be like 10 grand, right?
Mm.
He's like, but I haven't got the money, doctor. He goes, well, I can't help you then. You know, there's a lot of people with bad eyes like them, can't do anything for you.
Mm.
So he goes, oh, it's getting worse, can't do anything. God. So anyway, so he goes home.
Is that the price of human eyes, is it?
So he goes home, he's looking in the paper, right, and he sort of sees in the adverts at the back, and there's a little advert there saying cheap doctors. Right.
No. Bollocks.
Oh no.
No.
So he's thinking, oh, maybe that's what I need, right? So he calls him up. Woman's there. She's like, wait, what can I do? He goes, I've got bad eyes and that. She says, oh, come in tomorrow. We'll sort them out. She's like, brilliant. I'll see you then. Right. So he goes down there, and he says, right, you know, I can hardly see. My eyes have got in really bad state and what have you.
Right.
I need to have them sorted out. I don't know what you do, whatever you do, right. I need
now,
doing.
His eyes are so bad, can he see the doctors?
Not really, he's sort of squinting and that, but, you know, so he's like, do I need to see the doctor to, you know, have a word and tell them what problem? She's like, no, don't worry about that.
Don't worry about
just, I'd be comfortable if it's a
just, you know, just let me inject you and we'll knock you out and we'll get on with it.
Like, get the doctor in.
Can I just tell you something about chimps as well, just before you continue?
Go on.
You know, they don't have opposable thumbs.
Now, why are opposable thumbs useful, Rick?
Well, to grip something, to do anything like, you know, even simple stuff like writing, so let alone surgery. So without an opposable thumb.
Can I just check now? So if I was a doctor and I was doing any form of difficult surgery, would I need opposable thumbs?
You'd need opposable thumbs
to be a doctor.
And without you couldn't do anything.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Because the opposable thumb allowed something in our evolution called the precision grip.
Right.
So without that, you couldn't do anything.
I'm just glad I've got that cleared up. Thanks.
So anyway, so he's had the injection, he's nodding off and what have you, right? His eyes are sort of closing and that, he hears the door open, he sort of just sees this little fella coming and he's like, hello doctor, and he's trying to like make a chat with it,
sure.
But like, he's just nodding off.
These people have done 7 years medical training.
Respected people.
How could you call it it?
So anyway, he thought, oh, it's weird he didn't answer, but you know, doctors can be quite moody, you know, they're highly intelligent, they don't need...
Especially little hairy ones.
Well, just idle chit-chat, there's no room for that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, if I'm going in to have my eyes done, I want a little bit of idle chimp chat.
So anyway, time passes, right? Yeah. He sort of wakes up, and he opens his eyes, right? And it's brilliant, he can't believe it.
Eyes are perfect.
He's had the op. He can't believe the sight. He's like, nurse, right? And the nurse comes in because I can't believe it. This is brilliant. I've never had this such good sight. Do you know what I mean? Even when I was a baby,
yeah.
And my eyes were new. Yeah. I didn't see this good.
Great.
So she's like, well, you know, that's
you realise the nurse is a panda.
That's what we do, right? So he said, right. So can I just see the doctor and just say thanks and that? She's like, well, to be honest, you know, he's specialised in what he does. There's a lot of
what
words.
A load of bollocks this is getting.
Please.
Where did you get this from?
No, come on, let's hear the end of the news.
There's a lot of like operations he's got to do.
Yeah.
So you know, leave him to it. He's just having a kit. You know, I'll let him know that you were grateful. Yeah. You know, pay us a check. Off you go. Go and enjoy looking at stuff.
Yeah.
So he said, no, just what's wrong with that? I just want to see that. Just leave it.
Yeah, exactly. Leave it.
And he's like, yeah, but I can't. You know, I want to thank him. So he's done such a good thing for me. So they're getting into a bit of an argument and what have you, and the voices are raising, right?
Mm.
Door opens.
Gonna wake the doctor up.
Well, that's what they did, they woke it up, right?
They woke
it
up.
So the door opens, right? Little monkey comes out.
Oh.
And he's like, what's going on here? It's a hospital, why is he a monkey knocking about?
Yeah.
So the woman said, well, what do you mean? He's the doctor. Right? So he's like, you are having a laugh, aren't you? She goes, look, don't complain, your eyes are sorted,
yeah.
You know? The doctor's done it. What's the problem? He said, well, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have come here. She said, well, what do you mean you didn't know that? She said, the advert in the paper you read, it's like chimp doctors.
That is the biggest load of shit I've ever heard. That really is the worst.
Because his eyes were so bad, he thought it said cheap doctors.
He saw the advert and it said chimp doctors, but because his eyes were bad, he just saw it.
What journal is this in?
It was years ago, because it sort of says how the monkey sort of carried on working for a few years. He couldn't do anything
then
about it.
Then just retired to play golf.
It's absolute bollocks. It's not even worth talking about.
So.
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
It's the most ridiculous monkey news you've ever heard, and that's saying something.
Chimp doctors. Cheap. It's easy mistake.
Well, that's the end of another podcast. That's week 11. We've got one more to go next week. So go to wickedgervais.com, see some of the things we've been talking about, register, so we can let you know what's happening when we're back.
Who hosted this podcast?
It was the great guys at Positive Internet who host the world's number one podcast, The Ricky Gervais Show, with me, Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant,
bye-bye,
and Carl Pilkington.
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.